Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I believe the best quarterback right now is Josh Allen. I think he's become the guy. For years, it was Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, you know, Brady, that generation, once they went, Mahomes took over. The start of Mahomes' career was absolutely mind-blowing. The last couple of years, though, he's not been that guy, and really it's been Josh Allen. I think you can make a case for a couple of other people, but Allen's combination of freak show wow plays, like everything he can do with his arm, the cheat code that is his short yardage ability, like his athleticism, the fact that he basically does not take sacks. I mean, one of the lowest sack rates, pressure to sack rates you're going to find anywhere. Like utterly absurd analytics numbers behind him as well. I think Allen's the guy right now.
Sam Monson, friend of the show. Sam of the Check the Mic podcast with Steve Palazzolo and himself, Sam Monson. On Josh Allen, best quarterback in football.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I'm trying to think where else we do this. Where, who's the best? Like, who's got the most trophies?
Mm-hmm.
Like, That's not what that is, because right. If you try to say Josh Allen's the best quarterback in football, I think that is correct. I think it's, again, like saying this rings culture comes for you.
Mm-hmm.
If I say to you, I think the two best are Lamar and Josh. Like, yep. Whoa.
Right.
What about that guy? Well, all right. He's got rings. That's right. But individually, we've got 2 years of him not being better than those guys.
Yeah. He's not chucking up. There was a streak going. I think, did he break it at the end of the year? But there was a streak going of Mahomes not throwing for 300 yards.
Yeah.
That went
at the end of the year, that finally happened.
It was a long streak.
He had a full calendar year of not accounting for more than two touchdowns.
Right.
A calendar year of that. Which, you know, like, who's the best
golfer?
That's
not what it was. It was he hadn't thrown for more than two touchdowns in a game, maybe.
Okay.
Or maybe the combo of it, whatever
it
was.
I think it was two touchdowns. It was rushing in. Like, yeah. Who's the best golfer? Scottie Scheffler, right? He's ranked world number one.
Yep.
And if, who's number two? Rory.
Rory.
If Rory had not won this past Masters and got to number one,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't say, oh, no, it can't be him. He hasn't won a major in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You would never do that.
Right.
And if just talking about rankings of quarterbacks, like who's the best quarterback in football, you would say, okay, well, the way to do that is to figure out who is playing the best in the last 6 months, 3 months, 2 months. You know, you might not want to say that Allen has a better Hall of Fame resume than Mahomes, and I would say, like, okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah, this isn't who's had a better career.
No, it's who's the best right now.
Right now, who's the best. And for that, I don't know how you could make an argument for Mahomes that isn't, well, he's got the most hardware. That's it. He's got the trophies. He's got the rings. He's got the playoff victories, right? He does have some really good numbers, like, late in games, doesn't he? Like, fourth quarter situations. But the totality of what he's done for 2 years is kind of game, I'm not going to go fully on this, but like game manager-esque, right? He's not completing passes down the field. He's not putting up gaudy numbers. He runs the ball a bit, you know, more than the statue quarterbacks, but he's not running it as much as Josh and Lamar are. So what do I have? I got a guy that's the only reason you'd ever ask, the only reason you would answer Mahomes, I feel like right now, is the feeling of, well, I have to.
Because
I can't realistically look at his last two seasons and say he's been better than either Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. I don't think you could do it. Last year we talked about how Xavier Worthy was getting open down the field all the time, and Mahomes
just missed him
all the time. And how are they winning games? They were winning close games, getting a break here or there, and their defense, not that this should take all credit away from them, but their defense got amazing the last two seasons. 2 years ago, when they won the Super Bowl, they had like a historically good run of defensive performances in the playoffs. Remember, Mahomes beat the Ravens in an AFC championship game, I think without scoring a point in the second half.
That's right.
Punts.
They won 17-10.
Like, I'm not saying take his rings away.
No,
but
you're not saying he's not great.
Come on. Like, he's got a lot of help around him. And he's gotten some breaks. And again, like, there's a clutch factor there with Mahomes that I do believe is somewhat real. Maybe it's overstated, but no, I think it's more about Mahomes than it is not being number one than it is about Josh. Right? Like, and it would sound more like the MVP debate of last year. I think if you really wanted to have a good conversation about beyond just, oh, who has more rings, about who the best quarterback in the league is, it's going to start sounding like the Josh Lamar debate for MVP, I think.
If Josh were to win the Super Bowl this year, would it be accepted to say he's the best? Would you see it more?
You'd probably see it more.
Because now he has won.
You'd see it more.
He won the MVP. If he were to win a second one, you know.
I think you would see it more, and I don't know. Does he have to catch him for that to be if from here to the end of his career, Josh Allen was just going to be a better quarterback. From here to the end of their careers,
does
Josh
he have to
is
catch
better.
Him in Super Bowls?
For him to get like the not the consensus, but the majority to recognize like no, he's better. Does he have to catch him?
No.
Or can he just be better? Can he just be better,
he can be better.
Over the next 7 years there, and have that be recognized?
Yeah, there are examples of guys that have fewer Super Bowls but are thought of as better than somebody.
You just mentioned the golf example. Like, Scheffler has fewer majors than Brooks Koepka. But
he's number one.
But who's better?
Right.
And it's not debatable, really, who is better. So maybe if he stacks a couple of more years and Mahomes stacks another year or two of no 50 touchdown seasons or approaching 5,000 yards, or the Chiefs not looking like this. I mean, they got Warriors comparisons at the beginning of their run here. Like, if they continue to look the way they've looked, which is more, you know, scoring 24 points and their defense is really good and they take care of the ball, like, that's not how Mahomes gets, like, oh, can you believe this guy?
Yeah.
On a week-to-week basis. That's not happening with him.
803-0550 is our phone number. I'm thinking about...
So, like, to me, the debate would be Allen and Jackson.
Right.
Right now.
Let's do it. Let's play a little exercise. How many quarterbacks that have won multiple Super Bowls... This is going to get twisted, but I'm going for one name here.
I already know who we're going to... Who are we headed towards?
You don't know. It's not that.
I don't know?
It's not Eli.
Oh, okay.
It's the next one. It's Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger is undoubtedly great.
Sure.
I think Josh Allen's better than Roethlisberger was. Already.
Uh-huh.
Is that crazy? Is that nuts?
No, I think it's...
It feels like I'd be laughed at less for a retired guy. If you were to say Allen's better than Mahomes, like, oh, I'll get a ring or two first. You say it about Roethlisberger, I'm sure Pittsburgh would come for you. But Allen's better than Roethlisberger was.
Right.
And they have similar styles. Can throw it everywhere. Tough to bring down. I mean, Allen's much more athletic, of course.
Much more.
But, you know, like, it stems from however many, it might have been 2 years ago, where Andrew in Pittsburgh, I don't think he was even trying to make a statement here, saying like, oh, Allen's like a poor man's Roethlisberger. It's like, actually, no, he's better.
Mm-hmm.
He's better than Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as someone who's watched them both in their career, I comfortably want to say, like, he's better. And Josh has no rings, and Roethlisberger has two.
Right.
So, I don't know. I like hearing Sam Monson say that. I want to treat the quarterback rankings a little bit more like the world golf ranking or the world tennis ranking. Like, who is the actual best? Not, we have to kneel at the altar of Mahomes because he's won more Super Bowls.
Right. It's how about you look like the best quarterback in football again,
right?
Who
would have played better in that AFC championship? Or, sorry, who would have played better in the Super Bowl if he got there? Allen would have done more than
Allen
Mahomes
did.
He would have done better.
He definitely would have.
In that game.
Yep.
He would have been more competitive than the Chiefs were that day.
Right. So, I don't know. How does that sound, though, when you
walk out of Buffalo and say it?
Yeah. Right. Like, Buffalo and Baltimore might be the only two places in America where you're going to be able to get away with that and not sound like a crazy. I don't know. What is how? I wonder how Sam is being met with that. Like, oh, he's better. He's because it just does feel like in today's way you talk about sports, if the guy and the guy was just in the Super Bowl, it's not like he isn't still racking up accomplishments. He didn't win the Super Bowl, so it's a little different, but he's won two of the last three and he's gone to all of these. But I don't know, like if you watch the Chiefs on a week to week basis, you're just not. You're coming away mad because you feel like they're not the same. That they're not as dangerous. They're not as good as they were at the beginning of this whole thing, but yet they still are finding ways to win anyway. That was what was so maddening about them last year. If they were winning, they went 15-1 with Mahomes throwing 50 touchdowns and scoring 40 points a game, and the defense was good too on top of it, like you wouldn't be. You would be sick of it, maybe, but you wouldn't be, like, pulling your hair out on a week-to-week basis like you were.
Yeah.
The pulling your hair out was, I'm watching them. I know they're not as good as they used to be, and they block kick.
It was terrible last year.
Ball hits Aiden O'Connell in the face. Just, that's what was maddening.
That might have been the worst one.
That was worse than the block kick. It was a block kick from, like, 28 yards away. I mean,
listen, you have to make a play.
That's tough to beat.
You have to make a play to block a kick versus the quarterback snapped it, and it... The center snapped it off the quarterback's face.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't ready in field goal range, and you recovered it. Hey, the defense made a play.
Right. You know. The ball just fell to one of them. Or it didn't because it was fourth down, right? Right. I don't even think it fell to a Chief.
I think it might have been fourth. No, I think it was like second down.
Okay. Well, that's worse.
They were in range. Mark and Tonawanda hung up. All right. I was going to go to Mark and Tonawanda. He hung up. Never give up. You know? Now we don't know what Mark was going to say. You can give us a call back if you want, Mark. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, if you want to join us. There was also a viral picture that went around the world.
Uh-huh.
Stephen A. Smith playing solitaire on his phone at the NBA Finals, sitting courtside, playing solitaire.
I just saw this for the first time during the break here.
It's an all-time great moment in sports media.
Uh-huh.
All-time great moment.
Yeah.
Because, whatever.
He's in the middle of a game here, too. I don't think he had just started
this
thing.
No. He's in the middle of a game, and there's action going on, and one of the funny things that happened is he claimed, yeah, I can play solitaire during timeouts. I can multitask. And then it got community noted that the picture was definitely taken during the run of play. Like, nope, this is not during a timeout. You were playing solitaire while the NBA Finals game was happening in front of you.
Uh-huh.
Now, I think Stephen A. is pretty much bulletproof, and like this isn't going to actually be a problem for him. It's just kind of something you can make fun of.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Hilarious.
How? Like,
of all the things.
How about anybody in that crowd? You're at the NBA Finals. This was the game the other night, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
This was a great game.
Solitaire?
It was a close game. It was energy. There were big shots being made at the end. How is anybody in the whole facility doing a phone game, let alone the dude that is paid more than anybody in the world to talk
he's
about
paid
basketball?
He's paid like a player on the court.
He's paid more than probably a lot of those players right out there on the court. And he's the one that's got solitaire open on his phone?
What's the funniest part of it? Is the funniest part solitaire? Solitaire.
Wouldn't it be funnier if it was like Farmville or something?
Listen, Solitaire's
or Tetris
career arc as a game would have been a card game that you learned. And then it's, hey, look, I got a computer. What can you do on it? You can play Solitaire.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what you did. You played Solitaire on your computer, and sometimes you played Minesweeper. What, has Stephen A. got Minesweeper ready, too?
I've never played Minesweeper.
Oh, you've never played Minesweeper?
I think I know Minesweeper. I don't think I've ever played Minesweeper.
Minesweeper was... I mean, it's a fun game, I guess.
Uh-huh.
He's playing solitaire? Not one of these games where you got a guy that's going to shoot the cannon into all the zombies running at you, but he's playing solitaire.
See, I think that would maybe be funnier. If he was playing like with two hands on the phone.
He's got Angry Birds dialed up.
Like, if he had the phone instead of, like, because solitaire, you just have it in one hand and it's vertical. If he had the phone, right, two hands, like he's holding it like a controller, and he's playing a game with his thumbs, That, I think, would be funnier.
That'd be amazing.
He's that got would the, be even
he's
better.
He's got that backbone thing you put around it to turn it into a full gaming console.
Uh-huh.
And he's just sitting there playing like, what? Yeah.
Because
he's playing one of those racing games where you like tilt the phone to turn.
Just get the wheel.
Right.
His take today should be, I already know who's going to win the series. I don't need to watch.
Yeah, someone that's on that show with him should like use it as like he says something about Halliburton at the end of that game, and someone should go, "How do you know?
Yeah,
you weren't watching.
You were too busy loading up the hearts. You made a run."
I wonder also how often he does this now.
Right.
I don't do this with anything in sporting events that I would be at. If I'm at home,
you would refresh Twitter. Like
Twitter, right? It's Twitter for me.
Which I guess it's not much different for Steven. If he's texting, it is different.
No, it is texting, different because the Twitter, in theory, is adding to your experience with information or with people reacting.
That's right.
You're watching along with people. Solitaire is just, you're bored. Right?
Is this
Solitaire's the ultimate, I'm bored, what else can I do game?
Could this be memed? Could we cut out the frame of him and put it at other sporting events?
Yes.
When the games are boring,
I think we could do that.
Like, oh, this game is rough.
But that's the thing; he's not at a boring game. He's at a tight NBA Finals game that had a comeback at the end.
Nick in Rochester. Hey, Nick, what's up?
Hey, remember Ski Free?
Ski Free
Monster.
Yes.
Yeah, you would go down that hill, and no one really actually knew the rules of the game.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, that monster would just come eat you all of a sudden, and you didn't know what actually generated it.
Oh, I'm going to watch this right now.
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know this one.
Yes, it's just like a game it's one of those games you just played with arrows, left and right and left and right. Yes, Ski Free.
It was left and right, and it was like, oh, yeah, I got that new Windows 98. It's got Ski Free, too. And it was like, oh, man, that's awesome.
Yep. Oh, look at me. I'm jumping over a rock.
Exactly. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, the monster comes out. You're like, I don't even know what caused that, but I guess the game's over now.
Yep.
So anyway, I was listening to Paul Hamilton's segment, and I tend to agree with him that, you know, if the Sabres have another losing season, all their star players are going to want out again. And I just think the one thing the Sabres haven't done is just keep their good players. Like, no other team just routinely says, oh, well, our best players want out, so I've got to ship them out. Yeah, there's 5, 6, 7 years left. Well, too bad. Nothing we can do about it. I mean, I think Eichel was a completely different case, and I think Byram right now is a different case. And Byram, by the way, people are saying he's a consolation prize to Quinn Hughes. Please, he looks like Risto Lainen when he's away from Dahlin. Ship him out while he has value, and he's a different case. But guys like Paterka, like, you haven't been here and it's good, so why don't you sign a 2-year bridge deal and play your way out? You could get yourself, you know, 2 or 3 years closer to UFA. Go play your way out. And I bet you, if you help us make the playoffs, you may not want out anymore. And as for Tage and Dahlin, like, I like these guys. I do genuinely believe that they want to be here and turn it around. But if they want out, you know, you did sign a 7-year deal, you know, a 7-8-year extensions here. And the benefit of that, what's the point of a contract if these guys will just demand out and they get exactly what they want? It's like you reaped all the benefits. You got the signing bonuses. You got the guaranteed money. And now all of a sudden you want out. We're going to let you out. I think the Sabres need to take a hard line here because they don't have the fan support for a rebuild. They don't have any credibility whatsoever. These guys are stuck here, and they need to make them stuck here. I don't know what you guys think about that, but that's what I think they should do.
Yeah, Nick. Well, let me follow up with a question here. In the case of Paterka, what you're saying is, if the Sabres operated that way, what should Paterka do? He should say, I got to get out before I sign a 7-year deal. I mean, you're not I understand on some level what you're talking about. You're not supposed to treat these contracts as if they are sentences, and you must complete your sentence before you are dismissed. Because you kind of laid out the case where Paterka should just sign and get to that window. But other guys that have signed for longer term, if they don't like it, tough. And I guess where I always land on every one of these issues is pro player. Because other teams, this is not like a plague in the NHL. It's not a problem that a lot of teams have. It's a problem that this team has, and they've earned the problem. So because they've earned the problem, I can't get mad at the players for it.
Well, I tend to agree with you. Like, I've listened to you guys for years, and I tend to agree with that take, but a couple points that I think make these situations different. One, this isn't the NFL. You know, it's long been documented how NFL contracts are not what they are on face value. NHL contracts are fully guaranteed.
Yep.
Two is the NHL doesn't have that, you know, they're not the NBA where these guys just, like, willingly just tell you where they're going to go. And quite honestly, I don't really know exactly how the NBA works with that, but it's not the NBA.
I mean, that's not that far off in the NHL. I mean, Marshawn wanted to go to Florida, right? And so Oposo wanted to go to Florida. Mm-hmm. And guys want to go to Florida.
Right, but those are written in their contract, right?
No, that's a trade. And here comes Mitch Marner, where there's some reports about where he wants to go. I mean, I don't think it's any different with free agency. You might just have how public it is about the teams they're willing to go to.
That might be it. That's the one difference of the NBA is you'll see, like, there was a Durant report from this weekend. Like, these are the only four teams he'll go to.
But then even that, in the NBA, guys actually get to free agency. In the
right,
NHL,
right.
the practices, this is kind of why, like, the deadline is dead. And this is also why Paterka and younger players might be less willing to sign away 8 more years of their life is because premier guys do not get to free agency in the NHL. It doesn't happen.
But guys, I don't think they need to sign Paterka to 8 years. I mean, Carlo Koliakovo said a couple years ago, and I tend to think he was right, that, you know, one of the problems the Sabres have is they keep signing these guys super, super early to 7-8 year deals that may not have necessarily earned it. And the hunger goes away. And I think you make J.J. Paterka hungry. Sign him to that 2 or 3 year bridge deal that we're all going to hate because it's going to walk him to free agency. Well, guess what? We're not in a position right now to say, oh, well, we got to build long-term for a Stanley Cup contender. You know what? Figure that out later. Make J.J. Paterka, meet him in the middle. Say, you know what? We know you're unhappy. You're not going to sign a long-term deal here, but we're also not trading you after scoring nearly 30 goals for the past 2 years and you're 23 years old. Here's a 2 or 3 year.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Your bridge deal. Earn it.
Yep.
And guess what? I bet you if he gets hungry and earns it, let's figure out why we have to pay J.J. Paterka $10 million a year to keep him here because he is kind of happy. Or we trade him. But I don't think this is a situation where we need to just say, he's not going to sign a long-term deal here. Let's solve that problem later. These guys are the joke of the NHL. And if Dahlin wants out, I'm not trying to say, like, oh, dude, you know, count your millions. Like, you know, look at us working in the office. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that, like, he did sign a long-term deal here, and at some point you need to keep a lot of your good players around. And I don't think Dahlin's got attitude problem.
I guess the next thing I would say to you, Nick, and you're making great points. Like, I like this conversation. Is you're very much an honor the contract kind of person, and would you hold the team to that standard if they want to trade a player?
I guess in this situation, Jeremy, I think it's coming off as I'm an honor the contract guy, and I don't know how to properly express that. I'm somewhere
it's part
in the middle,
of it. Yeah.
And I just think that. I think the one thing the Sabres haven't tried, and I keep kind of saying this, and it's kind of the best way I can put it, is try keeping your good players.
Right.
And the ones without major attitude problems. And you know what? Like teams that are bad, they don't just go jettison all their good players. What they do is they kind of retool around it. They trade guys in situations like Byram. I think Byram makes perfect sense to trade. But I don't think they get in the habit of trading, superstar defensemen, cornerstone defensemen, you know, with 6 years left on their deal. And they don't get in the habit of trading, perennial 25 goal scorers at 23 years old. We're the only team that does that. Why?
Thanks, Nick. Fair points. A lot of it. You want them to get a little bit, it sounds like you want them to show some backbone.
Right.
Like, we can't be pushed around by a 3-year entry-level contract guy saying he wants out of here. Like, congratulations. Sorry, you got drafted here. But I just think, the last time the Sabres went hardball, it was with Eichel,
mm-hmm.
right? The last really hardball thing they did.
Sure,
and
yes.
If you want my opinion, that damaged them unbelievably in the league among the players.
But that was more than Hardball. That was it not pettiness? The surgery part of that. Is the surgery part of that not what really damaged them?
Yes.
Not the, we don't want to trade you
at the moment. They held a press conference to say they stripped him of his captaincy.
It's the captaincy stripping, and it is not letting the dude get the surgery that he wanted because you were bitter because he wanted to leave. That's what did the damage.
Yeah.
If they say to J.J. Paterka, they show that backbone, and they say, you're 23, get in there, work your butt off, go score some goals, sign a two-year deal, and if you want to go after that, then we'll talk about it.
But he has rights.
Get in there.
He has the right to sign an offer sheet with another team.
That's right, and the Sabres have the right to match it.
And if he tells you, I don't want to play for you, I'm going to go sign a four-year deal with the Blues for, and instead of me, you can have two firsts, a second, and a third.
Uh-huh.
And if you keep me, I don't want to play for you.
Okay, and what I might say to him is, I hear you. If go ahead, sign it and see if we match it. Or do this. Take the risk of we match you, now you're here for 4 years, or here's 2 years for $7 million a year.
But again, what's the risk for him? What's the real risk? The alternative is you either sign with me or sign with somebody else and see if I match that. Or I'll take that in a heartbeat. You might not match it. Whereas if I just sign with you, that's signing with
you. The risk is then you have to make a decision at some point between I'm a Buffalo Sabre for 4 years or I have to go to Germany to play. I'm not playing in the NHL
anymore.
There's
no scenario he's going to Germany.
Well, then I'd be worried the Sabres would match it. But how strong would the Sabres show we'll do it? We're not losing leverage in this situation to you who doesn't have any because you don't become a free agent for 4 years.
How does the press conference sound if Kevin Adams answers the question? You said you want guys that want to be here. Paterka does not want to be here and actively signed with another team.
I would love for them to respond to that with something more about a change of tune on that. Not caring as much about guys that want to be here and more about we're here to make the team freaking good and we're not going to let this guy who's really good walk for two late first-round picks.
No, they're going to trade him instead. That's what I would bet.
But should they? Or should they do what the caller is saying, which is, I know you don't want to be here, but I'm not getting bullied into this.
I'm not getting
bullied into a trade I don't want to make when I'm trying to make the playoffs, and I finally got a guy that is the first. Is he not the only pick that Kevin Adams has made that's actually made an impact on the team? Other than Owen Power, which anybody could have drafted.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
It's his best draft pick by far. It's not even close.
Right.
Well, Benson, but Benson's not making a huge, huge impact yet. So maybe someone would debate that based on some of the advanced numbers. But I'm thinking about Levi a little bit for this too. Maybe they made the right call there, but did they not acquire a goalie to make the playoffs 2 years ago because their college goaltender told them not to?
And you got pushed around?
You got pushed around by a 20-year-old goalie who never played in the league, and now you're getting pushed around by a 23. That wouldn't sit well with me.
803-0550.
And by the way, they have a guy in the organization now in Jarmo Kekäläinen, who in Columbus very often would acquire players or keep players not caring whether they wanted to be there or not.
Yeah. I had something else I was going to mention. We got days of this, weeks of this.
I'm just imagining Jarmo Kekäläinen in a meeting where Adam's he doesn't want to be. I want guys that want to be here. And Jarmo says, who gives a you-know-what? If he wants to be here or not. He's a great player, and you have him for four more years. He's playing for you.
But you don't have him for 4 years.
Well, you have his rights for 4 years.
You do. 803-0550. Paterka. I just end up always being pro-player. He didn't sign with the Sabres. They drafted him. He didn't have a choice. He outplayed his contract.
Mm-hmm.
He did his job. And now he's thanks for drafting me. I don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to defend that player's right to not be there. And that's true if it's Toronto or Vegas or anywhere. So I end up probably being too pro player in this spot. But that doesn't mean the GM has to be. You all bring up some good points. 803-0550. More of your phone calls when we return here on WGR.
No, not really. It's more a frustration with you guys. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been totally available for the last few years, and but it's not as if, at Augusta, I skipped you guys Thursday. So, yeah, it's not as if it's not out of the ordinary. I've done it before. I'm just doing it a little more often. I feel like I've earned the right to do whatever I want to do. Yeah. It's much easier being on the cut line when you don't really care if you're here for the weekend or not. You know, I was sort of thinking, do I really want two more days here or not? So it makes it easier to play better when you're in that mindset.
Rory McIlroy kind of explaining why he's not talked to the media as much. I don't know. Whatever. Guy won the Masters and seems like he's not very happy.
Yeah.
Which I suppose is very possible.
He did say, though, what was the comment he made about? Climb my Everest in April. You got to find your new mountain to climb. And open at Portrush is certainly one of those. So
all right.
He's at least fired up for next month.
803-0550. Mark and Tanawan has been waiting. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me on. Happy Dog Days of Summer. Is that officially started? It's
I think we at least once the finals are over.
I think
I would say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
we got some time.
That's right.
Like, Jeremy, how are you liking this weather? It's kind of like a fall summer feel, and I'm not hating it. If you have a pool or a boat, I could see the problem, but the golf course has been great.
Yeah, the high's in the 80s for most of the next couple. Next week's going to get up to 89. So, feels like
all right. Well,
89.
Just there was a lot going on. I called. For football, but after that conversation, I thought it was really good. My problem lies with Kevin Adams. It just really, really does. And that's all I got to say on that topic. But you referenced in your discussion about Mahomes and Josh Allen, and if Josh Allen could be better, I just think that the pressure is really on McDermott and this defense this year. And I think it has to be. You even mentioned the Warriors' former coach. I think it's Mark Johnson, right?
Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson. Yep. Sorry about that. He, he just couldn't get it done, and then Steve Kerr comes, and they're a dynasty. So I don't know, who's in the pipeline. I'm not calling for McDermott to be fired or anything. You know, I'm not jumping ship. I would love to win with McDermott. I think he's done great here, but I think it's definitely fair to say that McDermott and his defense, they have to start stealing games for Josh Allen and giving him the help that this guy deserves. And I just wanted your thoughts on everything. And, hit him straight, fellas.
Thanks, Mark. One thing I wonder is, like, if the defense does not improve, there's no doubt people will be looking at McDermott for answers. And I would just ask, would you also look at Bean? Or is it just McDermott? Because I saw a graphic over the weekend, and it was about all the quarterbacks and how many first and second team all pros they have on their teams. Mm-hmm. And it was, Lamar and Mahomes and Goff. And Allen was not on the list because he doesn't have teammates that are like that.
Right.
The Dawkins was the only player that was in the NFL's top 100. They did not have a first or second team all pro, correct? None?
I don't believe so.
And, for what it's worth, you could say whatever you want, but when does Bean get any of that? Bean drafts a full defense. If the defense isn't good, is it McDermott's fault or is it Bean's fault? They signed Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt with suspensions.
Yep.
And they went for Bosa with an injury. So, I mean, not saying it's not going to work, but if it, as Mark lays it out, it better be good or it's McDermott. I just wonder if anybody would see it not work and think instead of the coach that, man, the GM might not be giving him the pieces. We thought this was going to be an offseason of a potential whale, and that didn't happen. That's not exactly Bean's fault.
But it would depend. I think if, like, the way that McDermott would get the most criticism, I think, is if the defense is better this year. And Bosa gets his sacks, and Ogunjobi and Hoyt, like, they make their differences. And, pick whichever one of the rookies. But you drafted four, right? Two of them are making impacts. Whoever it is, doesn't even matter. Harrison, might be different for this because he's a first-round pick. But two of the four rookies are producing. And then you go to the playoffs, and you play Kansas City or Cincinnati, and then they're bad again. Like, in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it falls on McDermott more than it does for Bean. And that is, I think, kind of the feeling of their defense is that, the overall sentiment of their defense, they're good in the regular season and they stink when they get to the biggest game?
Okay, let me try that on. What would be the explanation for that? Where Mm-hmm. You can put together a good, strong defense during the regular season, then you get to the playoffs, and it doesn't come to play.
Mm-hmm.
What are the explanations? There are multiple. One, your coach isn't as good as their coach.
Mm-hmm.
That's an easy one that people go to.
Mm-hmm.
The other might be when you get into the biggest moments when players make a difference, you don't have the guys to do it.
Right.
And actually, your coach has been overachieving with these players that are not
right.
first and second team All-Pros. He's put together a sum-of-its-parts unit that does really well. And then in great big moments when you get to better teams, better coaches, bigger stakes, the great players show out, and you are just not on the level of some of these teams with their great players.
Right. Like, if I – to that, if I look at their high defensive picks, let's go Tremaine Edmonds, like, first round – their first picks, Tremaine Edmonds, Ed Oliver, A.J. Epinesa, Greg Rousseau, Kyrie Elam, and then Ed Oliver. Can you think of a playoff moment of any of those guys?
No. And is that because of the coach?
I can think of one for Kyrie Elam, and he's
sure.
the one who stinks.
Right, for sure.
So, but of the other guys, Rousseau, first-round pick, Oliver, top 10 pick. Epinesa was their first pick of a draft, but that's a round two. Tremaine Edmonds is a first-round pick. Think of a playoff moment for any of them.
Now, you could go either way. Is that because the coach doesn't have what it takes to put them in position, or is it something else? Is it that they're just not good enough?
No, you're right, though, because it is. I think often it's 100% blamed on the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it should be more split. Maybe it should be, yeah, the coach should not skate here, but, like, Greg Rousseau is a pass rusher. You know? Like, what? It's a third and 10 and four-man rush, and you got to get after the quarterback. Like, Sean McDermott's not preventing you from getting to Patrick Mahomes. Why are you getting bodied and you're not even getting close to him at that size? You know, Oliver is maybe for this, a little bit of this too. So that's probably right. Maybe the players and...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And the guy who's drafting him, you know, like, that should be on the hook as much as it is the coach. Because for me, it is very easy to go to the coach. Thinking about, especially their Kansas City matchups, how that coaching staff always has things dialed up. That team will do things differently when you get to the playoffs. And the Bills have had this reputation that they don't really change a lot of what they do. They don't add a lot of crazy wrinkles that you're not ready for. Was it Steven Ruiz a couple of years ago who talked about their defense when it was Leslie Frazier
mm-hmm.
as the defensive coordinator? How just like, man, you know what you're going to get when you get to January. And maybe they're a little different on that now, but...
But how much of that might be, I don't have anybody to make a difference.
Differently with.
I got to take my chances, play sound structure.
Well, I think the best thing McDermott would do for himself to escape criticism of a defense underperforming is if he has to continue to count on guys that they've developed as like seventh round picks and undrafted guys, and you know what I mean? Like, if they have injuries this year and Joe Andreessen has to play and is like holding down the fort, like you get credit as a coach for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a lot of examples of that happening, which is so maybe that should get him more credit in this conversation is okay, sure. His defense wasn't great last year, and in the playoffs it hasn't been great. But look how many lowly drafted players this guy has to rely upon.
Right, because they're missing at the top.
Right.
They're not really getting the hits at the top as often. Interesting. 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. There was a trade in the NBA that involved four unprotected first-round picks and a first-round pick swap.
Yep. Crazy.
It is a funny league where...
For a player that a lot of people probably haven't right. even heard of.
In the NHL, it's the deadline, and you're like, oh, man, huge blockbuster move, a second-round pick for this second uh-huh. pair defenseman. Yeah, four firsts.
Maybe it's like, how about we have no first until 2031?
Right. Extendo Sports coming up on WGR.
breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, we're in, we're out. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is coming up. We'll, of course, keep you updated on the latest on J.J. Paterka. And NBA Finals Game
5
tonight from OKC. 8:30 tip-off, and then the Panthers try to win the cup tomorrow night. Back-to-back.
Yep.
So we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for calling, texting, tweeting, listening, all that good stuff. Yeah, have a good Monday. It's beautiful out there. Have a great day.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.